Agricultural and Natural Resources, Monday, April 26, 1999. I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 238. Brad, tell us where we are on this one.
Senator Miller, Senator Hartog, you guys were up on this, right?
Senator Miller.
Come on up. Let's get on
it. Stone Cold Miller, approach the bench. Boy, it's never more apt term than Stone Cold for Miller, I'll tell you, Mr. Chair. Room temperature.
Mr. Chairman. Brad is going to read the bill.
Oh, fine. Thank you. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 238 transfers certain duties and functions of the Superintendent of State Police relating to boxing and wrestling to the Oregon State Boxing and Wrestling Commission, codifies existing contested case hearing procedures, changes the title of Administrative Officer of Boxing and Wrestling Commission from Administrator to Director. And Mr. Chair, after Senator Miller testifies, we have Jerry Conkling and Captain Bob Miller prepared to come and talk about the amendments that they're prepared, or rather the compromise that they've agreed that they're going to get prepared into amendment form for Wednesday's hearing.
Okay, great.
Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, for the record, State Senator Randy Miller from District 13. I'm here simply to speak in favor of what I believe are the amendments to Senate Bill 238, the -2s. As I understand it, the intention of the -2s is to allow, as we've described it here, touring groups, such as the World Championship Wrestling or World Wrestling Federation, to come to Oregon and appear at the Rose Garden or whatever other venue. Importantly, they choose and the sports fans in this state choose. It has been observed by many that a variety of performers, which I think would describe this particular or these groups, come to venues in this state and are not submitted to the same kind of test that is required of WCW, WWF, NWO, whomever, who happen to be among the most popular performers in the United States today. And frankly, I think that fans who care to watch them in person in Oregon should have that opportunity, and so this, in my view, foolish ban on their activity in this state ought to be lifted. If it is not, Mr. Chairman, I would suggest that the bill should be changed, and you should pursue, apparently, tests of this nature to all groups that perform at the Rose Garden, and we would see probably a very adverse reaction from a lot of promoters. So, Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Senator Corcoran.
Mr. Chair, Senator Miller, do you have any conflict of interest in this in terms of your own pro wrestling career? And also, if South Park were on at the same time as one of these events, which would you choose?
Mr. Chair and Senator Corcoran, unfortunately, I have a VCR, which allows me to enjoy both of those programs. Actually, the difficult conflict that takes place on the Monday nights, of course, as you know, is that, and we are missing those tonight, is that WCW and WWF are on at competing times.
Oh, my gosh. Senator Miller, isn't it true that your son has to show you how to use the follow-up, Mr. Chair, that your son has to show you how to use the VCR?
We're both in the training class. But seriously, Mr. Chair, to me the issue, and Senator Corcoran, is it's all about the choice that Oregonians make. It shouldn't be about the choice that government makes to deprive people of what some may think is a good entertainment value and some may think is a pure waste of time. But if you go down that road, then I would suggest that some may say that people who buy tickets to the Portland Trailblazers, particularly when they're not playing as well as they have this year, are expending a lot of money on what some would view as a useless activity, watching a bunch of guys chase after a basketball trying to put it through a hoop. Well, I don't want to begin the journey of having us determine for our citizens what is entertainment of value to them. And this is all about that philosophy in my view. There are folks who get, I mean, it's unbelievable. I'm sure they'll probably produce studies that say looking at WCW and NWO is
hazardous to your health, creates a very violent society. I have more confidence in young people and people who watch this to discern who the good guys are, who the bad guys are, the level of seriousness of it all. And I can tell you from first-hand experience that I know the difference. I can tell you my 17-year-old son knows the difference. And we enjoy the activity. But we don't get all hung up about trying to go out and necessarily be like the Undertaker or be like the Rock, other than try to perhaps develop the same, to some degree, physical characteristics like Senator Corcoran, who obviously spends a lot of time in the gym.
And that's why you refer to me as Gorgeous George, right?
That's it. Everything but the robe, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, I've always suspected that Senator Miller is somewhat taken by the garb that these guys wear as well. It's not just the bodybuilding. And I think he may have Scott and Andrew.
I thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Appreciate this bill being for you.
Captain Miller and Gary Conklin, please.
I think Captain Miller is related to Senator Miller. This is all a conspiracy.
Can you pull that up, I'm sure for him.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, for the record, I'm Gary Conkling, representing the Oregon Arena Corporation, and also joining me is Jay Isaac, who is responsible for running the Rose Garden on behalf of the corporation, as well as Captain Miller. And first off, Mr. Chairman, I want to thank you and your staff for your patience. We have been, in fact...
did I really demonstrate patience? Is that what that was?
I'm being, Mr. Chairman, diplomatic. But, in fact, we have been hard at work, and I wanted to report that the directions that the committee gave to us the last time we were here, we have followed and have achieved conceptual agreement on an amendment that deals with issues that maintain a regulatory basis for the protection of the public, that we also have come to some agreement on the physical exams of the participants, and that we've come to agreement on the financial issues that we had, and that the language is rendered here, but not in the language that's gone through Legislative Council, but we believe that it could quickly be rendered such, and are prepared to go early tomorrow to Legislative Council with your approval. And believe we could be back here on Wednesday with an amendment to for your consideration that would include this conceptual agreement that we've reached.
Mr. Chair, Captain Miller, we're in complete agreement. We have reached a compromise that we believe is in the best interest of the public and also brings WCWWF to Oregon.
And I concur. But this is just too good. We can't have a mess with this going on here tonight. Well, we thank you very much, and we will...
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Actually, I had two questions. I've already forgotten one. But, Captain Miller, I saw something on the news over the weekend that said that there were a couple of boxing matches.
Mr. Chair...
I just wondered how they did that.
I'm sorry?
I just wondered how they did that.
Yes, I attended the boxing matches Saturday night at the Portland Art Museum in Portland, professional boxing that was sanctioned by the Oregon Boxing Wrestling Commission.
So they got through your hoops and...
Oh, absolutely. WCW, well, that's on the boxing side. WCW and WWF have never been restricted from coming to Oregon. This just makes it easier.
That reminds me of my other question. Under the wrestling section, I guess I'm confused. It shows that we're having wrestling events in Oregon. So why do we need a separate amendment that says we don't need these regulations, we can do it. According to this, from January to March of this year, there have been 8 of them.
Mr. Chair, Senator Duke, what you're referring to is what you had requested from the last hearing on what's going on in neighboring states and what's going on in Oregon. We have an active wrestling professional program in Oregon now, mainly promoted by the Kaforis, and this is an accurate representation of the number of professional events that they put on in Oregon the last several years. I had the pleasure of attending one of them in Milwaukee a couple weeks ago, and it's a smaller scale version of what you see on television.
How do these differ from the ones that would be held at the arena? That's what I'm trying to get my hands around here is I don't have any trouble with the exemptions for the arena, but if we're already doing these and we're doing them without the exemption, I'm trying to figure out why we need the exemption.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Dukes, again, for the record, Gary Thompson, on behalf of the Oregon Arena Corporation, the groups that would appear at the Rose Garden would tend to be the national touring groups, and just by the fact that they are large, they perform other places. They have a lot of people. They're just bigger organizations, and they're not physically located here.
The eight that we've had this year are Oregon groups and not touring groups?
Mr. Chair, Senator Duke, that's correct. Those are Oregon licensed wrestlers and Oregon promoters.
And we had that. I do have one request, Mr. Chairman. If we decide to end up putting some regulations in here, could we not follow Missouri's lead, which has an annual physical with no criteria?
That may be why they decided to come to a compromise.
Just to make sure you're still breathing. I mean, that'd be about it.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Duke, I think when you see the conceptual amendment rendered, it will look better than that. They will have to do more than just breathe.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
So we'll look forward to doing that. Do we really know if you have someone else waiting for
us? Ed Johnson.
Oh.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My name is Ed Johnson. I'm from Lake County, Toledo, Oregon. And I'm in favor of this bill because dealing with local matches, especially in our area in Newport, we used to have matches down there from Santa Bar Association up to about 6 years ago when they started doing all these implications. And I spoke on it two and a half years ago. And we need to, at least for the local communities, expand on this so we can bring local tourist industry dollars into our communities. And by these events, we'll do that. And so we really need to consider with businesses instead of our own personal nature because, as the other senator said, we do have common sense, and that's one thing that we need to apply to ourselves and our children instead of having government tell us how to live. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I would like to point out before we close the public hearing on Senate Bill 238 that Mike Fahey, former representative, expressed interest in being here, and now with the postponement, we've been able to get Mike here. Hopefully Lonnie Roberts has been very active in this. Also, I think that the issue that they would like to convey is the fact that these kind of activities in the past have been a diversion to keep young people out of trouble, and I think their desire is we get back to that kind of activity again. So with that comment, I'm going to go ahead and close the public hearing on Senate Bill 238, and I'm going to go ahead at this point and open a work session on Senate Bill 1101.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 1101 sets a limit on the amount of sulfur allowed in gasoline and diesel fuel sold in Oregon. Senate Bill 1101, as written, directs that all gasoline and diesel fuel sold in Oregon must not have a sulfur content exceeding 150 parts per million. In Oregon, the average level of sulfur in gasoline is 450 parts per million. And in diesel, nationally, the average is 500 parts per million. The intent of the bill is to reduce air pollution caused by sulfur and gasoline and diesel fuel. We also have -1 amendments from Senator Wild, which would set an average sulfur limit of 30 parts per million and a maximum sulfur limit of 80 parts per million in both gasoline and diesel fuel. And that is that conforms with the current rules that California has adopted. and that would become effective January 1st, 2004 in Oregon.
Senator Wild.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At least so far as gasoline goes, it does conform to California's rules. California, I believe, currently allows a higher level for diesel. However, I have yet to find anything that backs up the belief that, in fact, a lower level in diesel fuel has any detrimental impact on the engines. And as an example, I'll use when both England and Canada adopted this standard, one of the key points in their rationale was that they were implementing it for the diesels, the heavy diesel engines, because of the attempt to reduce the particulate level as well, which has been demonstrated this standard would reduce particulate emissions about 80%. And so what I did was I took testimony from the last time we had this bill before us and implemented what was requested in order to get, which I really wanted anyway, but for the Oregon Environmental Council as well as DEQ's backing, they requested the 3080 standards, and I was happy to put that in.
Okay, on or before January 2004.
2004, I believe, if the EPA does come up with model rules for national standards, I believe that is the date they will choose, and so I simply wanted to get that into statute.
Sure.
Well,
it's not on or before, though. It's on or after.
Mm-hmm.
On
or
after.
The earliest date, because the refinery...
Excuse me.
Oh, excuse me. But in all likelihood, the refineries will need the time to tool up and prepare for this. It's a substantial investment that must be made, and I don't necessarily want to shove it down this road. So.
Cool.
Want to?
Mm-hmm. We're ready.
I would like to move the Dash 1 Amendment to SB 1101.
Without objection?
Chair, I would move SB 1101 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Wild has moved Senate Bill 1101 as amended to the floor with a due pass. Is there any further discussion? The clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
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 Aye. Bill is passed, and Senator Wild will carry Senate Bill 1101. Let's go ahead and deal with Senate Bill 337. I'm going to go ahead and right now and close the work session on Senate Bill, or did I already do that? 1101. And I'm going to open the work session on Senate Bill 337.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 337, as it's currently written, changes for consistency references to field burning to open field burning, defines agricultural open burning, and establishes limits of Department of Environmental Quality authority over agricultural open burning. The committee has before them dash three amendments to this bill. These are a modification of the dash two amendments that we heard previously on the 19th. And they're substantially the same, with the exception that the stack or pile burning of residue from Christmas trees would be limited to the period beginning October 1st and ending May 31st of the following year. And that would preclude burning during DEQ's regular burn season. And that was a subject of concern that came up at the last meeting.
Okay. I'll just kind of inform everyone where we are on this. There was, I met with the DEQ representative and also Christmas tree growers. There is an effort, or will be an effort, to modify this if we are subject to passing this out. They were both agreeable, if I understand right. Everybody nod their head. Do we have them here? Oh, right. And to doing that on the house outside, and I'm just wondering what is the will of the committee. Any thoughts on this?
I'm going against the bill, so
my thoughts are pretty irrelevant.
We just lost our quorum too.
Okay.
Well, then we. Right. We're,
is he going to show up?
I don't have any idea.
Oh, yeah.
Everything else is worked. Okay. Okay, we're going to stand to recess at this time. Bill 337, Senator Wild.
Mr. Chair, I move the Destry Amendment to SB 337.
Okay, is there any discussion? Okay, without objection.
Mr. Chair, I'd move SB 337 as amended to the floor of the Duke House recommendation.
Any further discussion? I do need to make a correction. Our folks from D2 came up and said that I had maybe not had it just exactly right, but they will work with the staff's re-amendment folks to come up with something that they believe will be agreeable to all. Is that a... Okay. Didn't want to get that on the record.
Mr. Chair. Well, if they don't come to an agreement, then you probably don't have a bill. But I will, as a courtesy vote, vote this out, but I won't commit to voting for it on the floor.
Okay. Any further comments? Clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
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 Aye. Okay, Senate Bill 337 is third passed, and let's see. I guess I will go ahead and carry that bill. What you want? Do you want to do it?
Oh,
no, I will do it. All right, close work session on Senate Bill 337, and I'm going to open the work session on Senate Bill 673. And tell us where we are.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 673 exempts from double and treble damages and holds secondarily liable for certain statutory trespass claims contract loggers who meet certain requirements. Under current law, any person who willfully trespasses onto the land of another and cuts down a tree or otherwise removes timber without permission is subject to treble damages. If a person casually or involuntarily and believes he has the right to cut down a tree or otherwise removes timber without legal authorization, is subject to double damages. Senate Bill 673 is intended to solve the problem where a contract logger in good faith and believing he has permission of the landowner cuts down trees and is subsequently sued for those double and treble damages. The contract logger would be secondarily liable for actual damages if a judgment cannot be enforced against the person the contract logger reasonably believed to be the legal owner. And Mr. Chair, we have -1 amendment submitted by Senator Farioli that corrects a problem in the bill that was brought up at our last meeting on the March 29th. And that was that in order, in some situations, for a landowner to collect damages, they would have had to sue themselves, and this corrects that oversight.
Senator Farioli, you want to tell us a little bit more?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate Bill 673 was the bill that we wanted to amend to include those folks that were engaged in harvesting timber and were had been directed by a third party to harvest on timberlands ostensibly owned by that third party or in control of that third party. In the last hearing, you recall, we had good support for that issue, but there was a technical blow in the bill, and we wanted to make sure that we deleted landowner or and inserted the person who engages the contract a logger, and that would clarify that it could be the, it could be any third party that made the direction to that that logger. And then the that we also had some testimony from a landowner who had been a victim under those cases, and there was some discussion about a good faith effort for execution of judgments and enforcement on those persons who got judgments against the contract lodger. But then the principal issue was the deletion of lines 16 through 25 and an insertion of a clause that essentially would have clarified under what circumstances the direction to harvest was given and under what circumstances the contract logger would have responsibility and what the contract logger could use and rely on as an affirmative defense. So it was a technical clarification, and I think the 673-1 amendments were prepared by the same folks that already had agreement on 673, which was the Associated Oregon Loggers and folks from the governor's office who had agreed that this was the language they would accept on a bill that had been vetoed in the last legislative session. So I'm confident that this dash one amendment solved a number of problems that have come before us, and that we are now ready, if, with your permission, to proceed with the bill.
Okay. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman? I have a question. I guess the Senator Ferry always, is somebody still liable?
Yes, actually, the affirmative defense for the logger doesn't absolve anybody. If there's an if there's a trespass burden, and it is a situation where he was not or she was not directed by a third party, and was in fact liable under ordinary trespass, and certainly all of the trouble damages and the secondary liability would attach. So this bill simply provides an affirmative defense that would allow the logger to mount a defense that said he was directed or she was directed by a third party and conclude that they were directed by a third party to do that. So yes, there's all the same liabilities in the existing statute. What this adds is an affirmative defense.
If this person has an affirmative defense, which gets them out ultimately of the liability, who is liable for cutting down my trees?
I believe it would be the person that made the direction, and typically that would be a mill owner or the person that sold the timber. So it's the person, I guess, what, you know, they take all of the money, Mr. Chairman, and that's exactly what where the liability is going to be.
Well, to a certain extent, you're going to do that anyway. I mean, you could have a person who is unable as a contract logger, and you're going to try to cut the chain and find out who in fact was responsible and who in fact is able to pay. Any further discussion? Very early.
Are we in work session?
We're in a work session.
I would like to move the dash one amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Ferrioli has moved the dash one amendment to Senate Bill 673 without objection.
And, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move Senate Bill 673 to the House as amended. Oh, to the Senate floor. We'll pass it first, Mr. Chairman, then we'll move it.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
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 Aye. 73 is in fact, and Senator Ferrioli, would you carry it?
Again, I am, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much.
Okay, I'm going to close the work session on Senate Bill 673. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and right now at this point and open up a work session on Senate Bill 1152. Brad, tell us about the bill.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 1152 is essentially a right to mine bill introduced at the request of the Oregon Independent Miners. Senate Bill 1152 protects the rights of citizens to conduct small-scale or recreational mining activities. According to the Oregon Independent Miners, it's both necessary to ensure that small-scale and recreational mining is regulated in the least burdensome manner possible, to discourage vandalism, and to otherwise preserve an important part of the state's heritage. Mr. Chair, we have dash one amendments that were prepared by Oregon Independent Miners. It's my understanding they prepared these in conjunction with the EQ to address some concerns that were raised at the hearing we had on this bill earlier on April 19th. We also have dash two amendments that were submitted by Senator Corcoran.
Well, I'm going to go ahead as chair and move the dash one amendments without objection. Does everybody understand where we are? Okay.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'd like to have a little bit of discussion about this. The difficulty is that I would like to get a bill out for the miners, but I don't want to have it vetoed. And so those amendments weren't prepared by me, obviously. They are prepared by the agency that will make a recommendation to the governor. And, you know, this is a very dicey issue because of the fish. And so if we want to just have another boxing match with the governor, we can do that. If you want to get something that actually works for the miners, then I would suggest you look at the dash to get them a bill. That's the only concern I want to raise.
And I very much respect that. And the governor has that authority as a co-equal branch. Jim, would one of you want to come forward? I mean, I'm perfectly happy with dash one, but you might want to have comment about this. We appreciate you coming forward.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. It is the opinion of Oregon Independent Miners. Getting ahead of myself here. For the record, my name is Tim Kramer. I'm the Director of Government Affairs for Oregon Independent Miners. It is in the opinion of OIM that the Dash 2 amendments is an attempt by the agency to gut and stuff this bill, and that by doing so, it completely negates the original intent that this bill carried originally. It is our recommendation that we go with the Dash 1 amendment, and that's all I'm going to tell you.
That's true. Go ahead, Tom. Go ahead.
Thank you. Now, in the Dash 2, there is one, if you look at page 2, section 3, sub 2, there is something that, when you consider the impact on our stream beds, that sort of thing, that are could be considered salmon habitat, at least some inclusion of environmental concerns. I understand you find that somewhat burdensome, but at the same time, we are directed to look out for the welfare of various species, and not just by our own government, but by the federal government as well. Would sub 2, if it were put in the dash 1, would that bother you tremendously?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Wilds, for the record, Tom Barrows, representing the Northwest Mining Association. I believe with the dash 1 that section 3 in the original bill is maintained, and that under sub 2 of that, nothing in the subsection shall prevent the imposition of requirements.
Let me get back to the original.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, so that stays the same. Okay, so what are we having on the dash 2s or eliminating?
Sir, while we're looking, if you look down in line 2930, it talks about legislative assembly declares that prospecting small-scale minor recreation land shall be regulated in the least burdensome manner. Right now, you have, if I understand correctly, substantial regulation as to when and where under conditions of
the dash 2s as well, though.
So, could you explain about where we are if we were just stayed with dash 1? Or if there's part that is just necessary to dash 1?
But, Mr. Chair, Senator Wilds, I'm not sure I understood that question. The dash 2s also contain that piece?
Yes.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. So I'm going through and figuring out.
I don't think that's the point of contention.
Get to the point of contention, mm-hmm. And then we'll work our way.
Senator Duke? Oh, wait 1 second. Senator Corcoran, you were next. And then
go ahead, Tom.
Well, I just want to ask the process question, and that is, did you have any discussion in the creation of the Dash 1 amendment with the agencies?
No.
Did you have any discussion with the agencies about the Dash 2 amendment?
No, Senator, we did not.
Would you consider doing that to try to get a bill, or do you understand the problem of not being able to come up with something together, or do you think it's just impossible to come up with something together?
Mr. Chair, Senator Corcoran, Oregon Independent Miners has always been willing to work with the agencies on any issue. We've never walked away from the table on anything, and we would be willing to discuss this further.
Well, Mr. Chair, that's kind of the answer I was looking for. You know, it really, I mean, we can have this box and mesh if we want, but, you know, if we really want to get a bill, why don't we let them sit down and see if they can get something together?
I agree with you, since they're ready to do that, and I think there's parts of this that may be able to be included.
Okay.
We're going to need to have a very rapid response team on this one, okay? And so maybe you could actually go work. Can we get in Thursday? Guess we can get back to it by Thursday. Okay. Yes. Now, don't feel under any pressure. I mean, if you come to the conclusion that you think we're standing on solid ground here, then you come back and report that to us. But I agree, there may be parts of this can be brought in. We read through the Dash 2. There's some parts that look very reasonable. So if you can't get there, let us know, and we'll expect you, though, to work with the agency.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask you,
Senator Perry,
when the proponents come back from their working group, I would like them to be able to reconcile the differences between the Dash 1s and Dash 2s with regard to the emphasis in the Dash 1s on protection of mining equipment, which is clear. That was your intent, that when a mining operation is not attended is when it's most likely to be subjected to vandalism. The Dash 2s talk about access to a mining claim only. Uh-huh. Basically, the Dash 2s talk about interference with access to a mining claim rather than essential interference with a mining operation or stopping a lawful mining operation or defacing a stake or removing or tampering with equipment. I mean, there's a major change in the emphasis between Dash 1 and Dash 2 to protecting the personal and real property of the miner to just essentially having a confrontation with a person who's trying to enter onto and engage in recreational mining or small-scale mining activity. In one instance, I see people conflict, and another, I see a property and people conflict, and that's a very different emphasis in the two amendments.
And Dash 1 right now do stand.
Yeah, Dash 1 seems
to be... They are without objection, and they...
To protect the mining site equipment and access. Dash 2 seems to protect just the access.
Okay, so you proceed. Realize that we did move
to
Dash 1.
Okay.
What we're going to need to do is have you report back to us by noon, before noon on Wednesday.
That'd be perfect.
Okay, before noon on Wednesday.
High noon Wednesday.
Yes, because we're going to be out of session by like September or October, so we need to get this in as soon as possible.
Just a second.
Yes.
We're having a meeting. You need to.
So here Thursday also. Yeah.
Evening? I mean, this time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 36 hours.
They just needed to get Maryland to get this 24-hour notice on our regular 4:30 meeting. That's what I told them.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I mean.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead now, and I'm going to close the work session on Senate Bill 1152, and I'm going to open the work session on SJR 27. All right, tell us where we are.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, SJR 27 expresses support for researched and industry-tested livestock and accepted animal husbandry practices, education programs that present facts of animal production, scientific research involving animals, and wildlife management practices that ensure population viability for future use. SJR 27 also expresses support and pledges to preserve lawful animal practices that increase awareness of importance of animals as source of food and fiber, as well as expressing support of prohibitions against unlicensed trade in endangered species, inadvisable introduction of species, offenses against animal, and euthanasia of domestic animals. SJR 27 expresses opposition to expenditure of public funds on materials in public schools that discourage use and enjoyment of animal products, as well as expressing opposition to legal prohibitions against or undue restrictions on use of animals. Mr. Chair, we have -1 amendments drafted on at your request that address earlier problems with the bill when we heard it on April 8th, and specifically that was definition of what animal rights is. So we remove the word animal rights. And the bill essentially reads now, on page 2, line 27, that we shall expose the expenditure of public funds and the use of educational materials in public schools or the procurement of educational information that discourages the use and enjoyment of animals and animal products. Essentially, we've deleted the reference to animal rights.
As Brad described, what we were attempting to do was to get at the arguments of the folks who were concerned about the animal rights issue, but at the same time suggesting that there was a reasonable position to have as far as the procurement of educational information and the use of educational materials in public schools to discourage use. I suggested this to a couple of people that had been here relative to that we were going to do this. I have not had anything further communication from them here, from the groups that were expressing the concern about line 27, page 2.
Just for my own 2 cents worth, banning the use of monies for educational materials, which we're now calling them, that promote a specific thing is right up there with banning a book. I mean, everybody's going to have a different opinion as to what we ought to teach and what we ought not to teach, but if we don't teach our kids to look at things in a critical, with a critical eye so that they can make decisions for themselves when they get out into the world, they're never going to be able to figure this stuff out for themselves.
Okay, we need to address the amendments, the -1 amendments.
-1 amendments?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chair, Teresa Miller with the Oregon Humane Society for the record. The -1 amendments I think we're fine with. The issue I think you guys were just discussing was dropping lines 27 and 28. Is that what yours?
No. Yeah,
just
part
the
of
amendment.
It was removed. Yeah.
Okay.
We removed the animal rights statement that doesn't exist, and it just basically deals with the idea to promote. Brad, go ahead and read it again. Did you get it clearly stated there?
Let
me see. It seems so simple when I had my little line.
Mr. Chair, it reads that we shall oppose the expenditure of public funds to promote or procure educational information and materials in public schools that discourage the use and enjoyment of animals and animal products.
I think we would support getting rid of lines 27 and 28. I don't know that we really even have a position on the amendment. We're okay with that, but we would support getting rid of both of those lines, I think. But I know that's not the amendment you're looking at.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, can I ask another question?
Certainly.
What is the responsible breeding of animals? one. Oh, well, yeah. See, I must have missed it. I wonder why I was here, at least for part of it.
Yeah, you were here for part of it.
I mean, does that include puppy milk?
Say what?
Does that include puppy milk?
I think that did include puppy milk, yes.
Oh.
Yes, but
it's responsible breeding of animals. Okay. Just a second.
But we do have significant regulation, if you folks remember that, as far as how those operations must be managed. And you know, and the joint resolution, if you look at it, restates again the idea of the care, enjoyment, companionship, management, all of these sort of things that point one in the direction that we're talking about the care of and not the exploitation of by a general definition.
Mr. Chair, where would I find that in the bill?
Everywhere.
I need to find it in the bill. The commission summary says it expresses opposition to legal prohibitions against or undue restrictions on use of animals. So we don't want restrictions on...
Word undue.
Well, okay. What is? I mean, I have the distinct impression that with this bill that we would be saying that we wouldn't consider puppy mills or regulating them as undue. We would consider that undue restrictions.
None of the proponents of the measure express anything like that. In fact, they emphasize the fact that it does have within this I'm looking at it real quickly, and I don't have my copy that I had highlighted. Let me quickly look at that.
F supports the protection of individuals and entities that engage in animal enterprises. And they get a properly restricted.
I mean, if we put it on the record that responsible breeding includes puppy mill, then unduly restricting those seems to me that. I don't know what unduly restrict means, but I assume that's in the eye of the beholder. I guess those are terms that might better be defined, but I'm probably not going there. I mean, those little critters are cute, but some of those puppy mills aren't.
Mr. Chair?
Attorney Corker.
Do we know who the Oregon Animal Interest Alliance is? Fred?
Yeah.
Senator Corcoran, it's actually supposed to be the National Animal Interest Alliance. That was a typo.
Is Oregon is national?
Right.
That was a distinction without a difference. Could you explain what they are, who they are?
They're a national group that supports pet industry, couriers, and essential animal research facilities. They enjoy the support of Oregon Health Sciences University. Anyone who essentially uses animals in their work as an industry.
Mr. Chair, this one's a really tough one for me because on the one hand, I have I'm married to a women's health care nurse practitioner who thinks it's ludicrous that these animal rights people go after the practice of using animals to test medications. Okay. On the other hand, there are some really abusive practices out there that we clearly don't want to be, I wouldn't want to be identified with as a legislator. So, and then I guess the only other point I'd make is, what the hell is this? I mean, a Senate joint resolution, this and 35 cents will get you a local phone call. What's the point?
Oh, I'm not going to answer it, so I'll let you, Senator Wild.
You recall on the floor today, we dealt with a resolution making Portland an international city of the 21st century. That was worth only a quarter.
Yeah.
But, and unfortunately, that was one of the two no votes.
The two wrongs make the right.
Well, your argument seems to be lacking in
substance
by previous action earlier today. So, personally, this doesn't thrill me no end, but obviously you need a force. So, if you want to go with it, go with it.
Well, I anguish. Oh, Senator Duke.
Well, I just want to say, I know, to Senator Corcoran, I know at least one of the groups, because the Oregon Pet Industries Association testified and left their piece, and I asked them who they represented. And included in the folks that they represent are the folks that sell animals at malls, at least some of whom have been identified in some of those exposés that we see as buying for some pretty lousy puppy mills, which concerns me. I mean, I agree with everything Senator Corcoran said. If it wasn't for experimentation on the animals, at least one of my kids might not be here today because of the RH factor. I mean, something that simple, that minimum for those cute little monkeys. But there's some ugly stuff going on out there, and this resolution is pretty general. And in being pretty general, I mean, I represent mink owners who get killed when they get released from their pens, and I hate to see that sort of thing going on. I mean, it's a real waste of animals. But on the other hand, I don't want to be a part of condoning or saying we shouldn't unduly restrict, when we don't define that term, some of the ugly stuff that's going out there either.
I think if everyone would look at lines, 19-20 through, where it talks about the fact of how these animals, animal husbandry, practices that promote proper animal care, provide consumers with wholesome food, the sport and companionship, those practices shall include promote and protect public safety and health compliance, law enforcement, wildlife laws, compliance with acceptable animal husbandry standards. See, what this is saying is that none of the statements made here are in any way going to be opposite what is on the laws for the protection of these animals. In fact, I think it deals primarily with what Senator Corcoran was talking about, and that is the idea of just saying it is in the interest of the state of Oregon to take a position saying that animals, in fact, can be a valuable part of our existence here.
Mr. Chair, then you can't include puppy mills as responsible.
Well, that, I am so sorry I said that. Yeah. I am so sorry.
Yeah, Mr. Chair,
yes.
I think the point that Senator Duke makes is a good point, and that is if all other things were considered equal, this bill is before us because of the needs of a group that allegedly engages in that kind of practice, and so then it begs the question of the necessity for the bill. Portland is a 21st century city. It's a whole different than apples and oranges kind of question. The question of the need for a resolution is still the same, whether Senator Weil agrees with my consistency or not.
All right. For the subject of getting to the vote, then I'm going to move the Dash 1 amendments to Senate General Senate Joint Resolution 27 without objection. And then I'm going to move Senate Joint Resolution 27 as amended to the floor with a due pass. Mm-hmm. You can vote your conscience.
Well, I think this is a reaction to somebody else's action, and it's not really us. It's not necessarily necessary. Reasonable people already agree all this, and I'd like to do something about the criminal act. But if there are so many words taken out of context and made it look like, you know, that we prayed on it, that's all.
Puppy Mills Association of America.
Get out of here.
All right, seeing no further discussion, the clerk will call the roll.
No.
No.
Aye.
Fisher?
Aye.
Senator Shannon?
Aye. For the pass? That's suggestion here that they clean up the bill here if it's a national animal interest fines, we clean it up on the bill. Request of
that. All right. Mm-hmm. We can do that. Senator Sanders, do you have a vote explanation on that? You prepared to take a comment?
Oh, no. Let's just close the floor.
Okay. All right. Is there any other part of the business to come before this committee? I do need a declared. Yes, I will be needed.
Mayor, before you
are we done? Yes.
How many bills did you vote on?
Do
you want to record
your face on the other two? Yeah, which one's on that? Yeah, and her?
And 6 left? 7. We said for the group to win. We sent 337 before?
With the dash 3 amendment.
Oh, okay.
Do you mind really briefly telling me what the dash 3 did? I'm sorry, taking the time.
The dash 3 provided an exemption for earning Christmas bonuses, not during.
Okay, I'd like to record for a yes vote on.
Time limit.
Yeah, I remember that one. Okay. Yeah, 373.
Mm-hmm. And 673.
What's that one?
Okay, this was Senator Ferraroli's bill that deals with who is responsible, liability for trespass with loggers.
Okay.
What's it
loggers?
All right. Okay, and we modified that with amendment.
Okay. I'll do those two because I remember those. Okay. Mr. Chair. I request unanimous consent that the rules be suspended to allow me to be recorded as voting aye on what were those two? Senate Bill 337 and Senate Bill 673. It will not change the outcome of the vote.
Did you also want to vote on Senate Bill 1101?
No.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to do that without
just a second. Point. Did you amend D for all of it?
No, we did not.
Okay.
No, but okay.
Yeah.
I would like to claim privilege, Mr. Chair, on those two.
On the two. Okay. All right. Without objection, we'll do it that way. Okay. Now what we're going to do, and I need to close the work session on Senate. Well, we already did that, obviously, because we just took further action. Well, if there's nothing else to come before this committee, we will be adjourned.